Who won the Cold War? For 20 years now, almost half the length of the war itself, the Western democracies have assumed that they did. For the first decade after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the United States and Europe grew vastly in the absence of their greatest strategic challenger. The United States generated the information revolution. Europe increased mutual cooperation, united its currency, and incorporated the choicest bits of the former Soviet Empire into the European Union. There was good historical precedent for both growth and unity. After the defeat of Napoleon at Waterloo, Britain, the main winner, initiated the Industrial Revolution, and the Concert of Europe represented the efforts of the European states to cooperate and manage their security affairs. But in the second decade after the Cold War, two surprising things happened. First, the United States, with European participation, invaded Afghanistan and Iraq, and then spent trillions of dollars, enormous diplomatic capital, and thousands of its soldiers' lives in the effort to build functioning states in each. The results were a very partial success in one case and something very much like failure in the other. The economic downturn that began toward the end of the decade was not caused by these misadventures, but taken together, they signaled the possibility of imperial decline. At the same time, China, which had been a secondary player in the Cold War, deepened the experiment it had already begun with state-managed market reform. The result was sustained economic growth of stunning proportions. China became the world's second-largest economy, outstripping Japan and all individual members of the European Union. The pace of its growth has declined from the consistent 10% or more of the post-Cold War era to something more like 7.5% in 2012, and further slowing remains possible. Yet China weathered the global financial crisis much better than the United States and Europe. Serious observers believe that the Chinese economy could become the biggest in the world in a decade, or even sooner. Suddenly, the assumption of Western democratic victory in the Cold War has had to be re-examined. On the level of ideas, capitalism indeed won a significant victory. The communist ideal of a totally non-market economy no longer has many adherents outside North Korea and perhaps Cuba. The Communist Party of China has formally welcomed capitalists, defined to include owners of private businesses, into party membership. The Chinese state still owns huge enterprises and guides the economy by controlling banks and by regulating some industries. But the basic theory on which it acts is market capitalism, not communism or even socialism. Democracy, however, has not won in the way its promoters had hoped. China's ruling elite rejects both elections and individual rights, and it has been able to achieve fast growth and de facto legitimacy without either. After a largely unsuccessful experiment with democracy, Russia has reverted to the rule of a strongman. Much of its public seems to accept, even embrace this result, notwithstanding some protest. The U.S. experiments with democratic nation-building in Afghanistan and Iraq went poorly, not because of any inherent problem with Islam, but because of the extreme difficulty of establishing democracy without a strong, functioning state to keep order. Mass demonstrations demanding the end of autocracy deposed dictators in Tunisia and Egypt. Yet the Arab Spring has struggled. Meanwhile, the position of the United States looks much weaker than it should if the Cold War was a definitive victory. The Pax Britannica lasted from 1815 to 1914 before the rise of Germany brought the century of British dominance to an agonizing end. By contrast, in 2013, the rise of China was making the U.S. position as the sole global superpower look tenuous. The United States has arguably been overstretching itself, as Britain did over the 19th century. The hard fact is that alongside China's extraordinary growth, the U.S. economy has been growing slowly, if at all, to the point where 2% annual growth would have been considered a victory in 2012. China's rise and the relative decline of the United States sets the stage for the possibility that the real winner of the Cold War could turn out to have been China. Unlike Mikhail Gorbachev, Deng Xiaoping rejected Glasnost and insisted on maintaining party rule. And unlike the Soviet Union, China abandoned communist ideology in time to avoid collapse. The emergent party-directed capitalist state is now poised to take its place as a global superpower comparable to the United States.